any flood insurance in my house, but I'm fine from the flood.
So we'll start tonight and we'll just discuss the idea of insurance in halacha. I saw in two places, and apparently, according to Islamic law, insurance is forbidden. I think because they feel that it's it shows a lack of trust in God to have insurance. It's almost like saying that God won't be able to provide, so I'll set up insurance that I'll have money left over for whoever. Yeah, so I think I saw one article that in Iran and Libya that it's against the law. So I don't know.
I hear they work around.
I don't know if they're changing the laws in Libya now, but yeah, maybe not that law. And then
well,
it's
funny because stop it.
Yeah, it's okay.
But someone I work in Libya. Because everyone knows that.
Did I take it?
Our resident insurance broker.
One of the biggest people there is a Muslim guy.
Really?
They obviously have.
Did you ask him about it?
But
he may not be pearl.
But he keeps kosher. No, no,
he does.
You won't eat.
Well, he's happy to sell to other people, but you don't know what he has.
Well, he has. I know he does.
He's maybe modern Sharia.
Yeah.
I don't know. Could be. All right, maybe things change. Maybe not everybody agrees. I'm not so familiar with Islamic law. And then the second interesting introduction is that the New York Times apparently had an article in 1863 or 1853. Two different places I saw quoted from different times and I did not go and check. But in 1853, 1863, the New York Times had an article talking about how life insurance causes laziness. And that they had this whole article telling people why they shouldn't purchase life insurance because it makes people lazy, because it will make people not work as hard, that they'll be if people won't work as hard if they know they have life insurance to rely on. So just too interesting. I think the feelings have changed since then, but just it's interesting that I guess that was the beginning of it. I don't know the history. I don't know if you know the history of life insurance.
I don't
know.
Actually,
you do, but we don't have that long.
Actually, with life insurance, it's actually something going to come out that you have to have life insurance. Okay, students rely on that.
You're so saying?
I heard that somebody said it, it's important to get life insurance in case something happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Could be, yeah. Anyway, so those are just two little points of introduction to kind of put this in the context of that in history there was some negative feelings towards, you could open up the cake, you know, there was some feelings of resistance towards the idea of insurance. But in order to discuss the idea of insurance and how it plays out and the Jewish view of it, I thought that first we would start with a little bit of a background about bitachon in general, because obviously the question that arises when you talk about insurance and life insurance, really any insurance, is how can insurance work together with the idea of trusting in God and having bitachon in Hashem that Hashem will provide, right? The idea that I trust that God will provide for me, so why should I have to take the measures of buying insurance? There's insurance basically saying, you know, I'm not so sure. If I lose this, then maybe God won't provide, so I'll have a lump sum waiting for me at the end.
Why is that different from the question of, you know, why should I work? You know, Hashem will provide by the end of the week. Something will happen.
Okay, good.
And we all do that.
Fact of life.
Die.
Well, that may be a question of what you need the insurance. For everybody else, insurance for you. Help you.
What do you mean?
Well, if we're talking about insurance in terms of like life insurance, as it's understood now, it's not for me. Like I can have bitachon that I have long life, but even after I'm gone, I'm going to understand that as a caretaker, I'm not here anymore.
Right.
So the insurance is to help everyone else.
And when the insurance, let Hashem take care of it.
Take care of them versus let's say medical insurance. You know.
Right. Right. Okay. So you're saying the question would just be changed whether it's about me or about others. Taking
you can
care
have
of me or
taking care of them, but it comes down to like I understand that I'm the breadwinner, so if I'm not here, you have to do something. Just like right now, you're working, right? So you have to have me the Hashem, but you also have to
okay, good.
Your family.
So let's back. Let's go. Let's start with, you know, before that, and do should we be working, right? So we're all sitting around the table working. Yeah, you'd like to say no. Yeah.
What do you mean we all work? Some of us at this table do not.
Right. We all did work at some point.
Better life. They get all the benefits.
I can't remember 10 years ago.
So we've all worked before, and everybody has worked. So the question is, should we? So that discussion, just a little bit of an introduction in order to get to the whole discussion of the question of insurance and flying in the face of the idea of bitachon, to define a little bit of bitachon. So the Gemara in Brachos discusses, it's a well-known Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lam and Ham and Beis. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Kriyashma Ve'asafta Deganecha. The pasuk says that you should gather in your crops. So the pasuk says, why does it say that? We have another pasuk in Yehoshua that says, Lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha, that the Torah should never leave your mouth, which sounds like you should be learning all day. So how could the pasuk say that you should take the time to gather your crops if the pasuk also says that you should be learning Torah all day? So the Gemara answers with a machlokas. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yishmael, the first opinion, who says, Hanheg vahen minug derech eretz. Rabbi Yishmael says, yeah, you have to work, right? It means when you're not working, you should be learning, or you should have time to learn. But v'asafta deganecha means hanheg vahen minug derech eretz, that in your life you also need to be working. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who we all know from Lag BaOmer. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, if a person is busy working, he's going to have to plow the fields in the time that he's supposed to plow, and he's going to have to plant the seeds when it's time to plant, and he'll have to cut the crops when it's time to cut, and then he'll have to do zore, which is some type of sifting with the wind, and you'll be so busy working the fields that Torah matahei aleha. What's going to be with the Torah? You'll never have time to learn Torah if you have to work. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai gives a different answer to the seeming contradiction between these two psukim. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, well, it depends. When the Jewish people are doing the right thing, the Ritzono Shel Makom, so then Lo Yomosh HaTorah Zemipicha, then the Torah will never leave your mouth, you can just learn. But when the people are not doing what Hashem wants, then Ve'asafta Deganecha. Then you'll need to work for yourself. So the Gemara then concludes with Amar Abaye, Harbe Asuk Rabbi Yishmael Ve'Alsa Be'Adam. Many people followed the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, and they were successful. They had time to work, they had time to learn, but they worked. They spent as much time as they needed to provide for themselves and their family working, and then they also had time to work. Hanheg Ba'en Minag Derech Eretz. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and a lot of people did like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Vilo also Be'adam, and it didn't work out. It didn't work out like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai for many people. And there's a whole discussion about what does it mean, Lo also Be'adam, what does that mean about the Kollel movement, but okay, not for now.
In Bereishit, with the punishment that man should work by the
sweat of his brow. Yes, when Adam and Chava sinned, so one of the curses that God gave to man was Bezeas Apecha Tocha Lechem. That from now on, it used to be easy for you to eat. You would just pick up whatever you wanted in Gan Eden and eat. Now, Bezeas Apecha Tocha Lechem, now you will eat only with the sweat of your breath. Meaning you have to work. Yeah. That you have to work in order to be able to have bread. So yes, it implies that you should have to work. So, it does seem that way. So that's the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. There's not a clear answer who we paskin like. It's hard to say that there's a psak halacha when it comes to a gemara like this. But it does. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch definitely do say it's important to find time to learn, and we obviously know that. It's important to have time to learn. But you see from the gemara also that it seems that for the masses, that the preferred way of living is like Rabbi Shmuel said, because many people did like Rabbi Shmuel and it worked out for them. Many people did like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and it didn't work for them. That doesn't say it didn't work for anybody, it says it didn't work for all the people. So, not so clear, but certainly the implications from this Gemara are that you should be working. There's also a Medrash Shochar Tov, which is a Medrash, I believe, on Tehillim, which Rav Avadya Yosef quotes in a tshuva that he was asked about insurance, and he quotes the Medrash as follows. that the pasuk says, "Leman yivarechecha Hashem elokecha b'chol maaseh yadecha asher taseh." Hashem should bless you in all the things that you do. B'chol maaseh yadecha b'chol asher taseh, everything that you do. So the Medrash says, "Yachol yeh yoshev u'batel." Maybe even if you're sitting and doing nothing. So the Medrash answers, the pasuk says, "B'chol asher taseh." You need to be doing. If you're doing nothing, then Hashem won't be giving you the bracha. You have to be doing. Im oseh mizbarich. If you do, if you work, then you are blessed. V'im eino oseh eino mizbarich. But if you don't do, then you don't get the bracha. So Rav Avadi Yosef says, you see from there, that al ha'adam u'telis chovas ha'ishtadlus l'parnas also. You see from there that there is an obligation on man to work for his parnasa. El sha'alav l'itach v'Hashem. But despite that, or in light of that requirement, obligation of hishtadlus, a person still needs to have bitachon in Hashem, sh'al yedei hishtadluso yantzilo parnasoso, that through his hishtadlus, that in his hishtadlus, Hashem will help him acquire a parnasa. So it's not really so simple, because it would be very easy to say either black or white, right? Normally we talk in this sugya, see people talk about the word bitachon, that we have trust in Hashem, and we talk about the word hishtadlus, that we work. And generally, the way people view it is, well, I put in my work, I do my hishtadlus, and then I stop and I say, okay, Hashem, now I have bitachon. Right? At that point, my bitachon takes over. That I do my part, and then I have bitachon. But that's not really the case. Because as we see in this medrash, and it's repeated in a number of different places, that it's not that a person puts in his hishtadlus and then the bitachon takes over, that I trust in Hashem, he'll provide whatever I'll need after I do my part and I think I did everything. But rather, it's in the hishtadlus, as the Medrash says, in the hishtadlus is the bitachon. Right? That in a person's hishtadlus is the bitachon b'Hashem, that Hashem will provide for me in the hishtadlus that I'm doing. That the hishtadlus I do is through the view of bitachon, and it's not one or the other, right? It's not black and white, but they're working together. That in the hishtadlus is also the bitachon. And I know it doesn't sound like such a big difference, but that subtle difference in understanding how to view hishtadlus and bitachon, that it's not that, you know, you're doing one and then you do the other, but rather that they're working together as a team, that in the hishtadlus is a person's bitachon as well, that changes everything. As an aside, not really as an aside, but just an interesting point about this whole sugya. There is a Ramban in Parshas Bechukosai that many quote as seeming to imply that a person should not have to work at all. Shouldn't have to go see a doctor, shouldn't have to work, and that Hashem will provide, and there will be no worries. You shouldn't see a doctor, you shouldn't have to work, and everything will be okay. And generally, people match that up with the Chovas HaLevavos. The Chovas HaLevavos was written also, it's a Musar Sefer from the time of the Rishonim, written by Rabbeinu Bachya. It's one of the classic Musar works. And in the Chovas HaLevavos, he has one chapter, one shar, one whole section on bitachon. And in that section on bitachon, he explains that there are two reasons why a person has to work. There are two reasons why Hashem made us work. He says one is to test us how we will go about that work. Right? What we will choose to do and how we will try to make our panasa, whether it will be in a way which is allowed or is in a way which is not so correct. Right, it's one of our nisyonos, that working is a nisayon, to see if we'll be doing it in an honest and correct fashion or not. And the second reason that the Chovas HaLevavos explains, the second reason why we work, is to basically keep us busy. Because a person who has nothing to do and does not work, so that leads him to sin. Right, it's very hard to keep yourself busy when there's nothing to do. So when a person works, he keeps himself busy. If a person doesn't work, so he says that a person will forget all of his requirements and all of the reasons why he should be thanking Hashem, and he'll end up Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, that he'll come to despise and to kick and to rebel against God because of the time that he has without filling it with meaningful activity. Then he moves into the Chovos HaLevavos, then discusses how does a person choose his job, which is a very fascinating question, right? How does a person choose his job? So we all have professions that we chose, and everybody has different reasons for choosing their profession, or had professions that we chose, and had reasons for choosing that profession. The Chovos HaLevavos gives two very simple criteria that a person should look at when deciding what he should do. And it's an amazing way. Not everybody agrees with this, and the Ramban seems not to, but it's an amazing way of looking at, maybe simpler way of looking at life. He explains that there, basically he says that a person should try to think about what are they good at, right? What are they good at? What can they do? What do they have a talent in? What is a person's body physically able to do? And the second thing is, what do you enjoy? Right? The second condition or criteria that a person should look at when choosing a profession is, what do you enjoy doing? That a person should choose a job that he's good at and that he enjoys. The question is, why should you choose that, right? I would choose the profession that I think will be most profitable. Why would I choose a profession that I'm good at or that I enjoy? Why would those be the two things? So the Chovos HaLevavos writes, because basically he says that because no matter what you're going to do, you are going to be getting your parnasa from Hashem. And your parnasa comes from Hashem. There's an obligation to work. And he says, "Roi lo lizasek b'sivos." You have to work. V'al yirape mechazer acha aleihem. You shouldn't be lazy not to work and to run after opportunities and jobs. And he says the same is true about health and doctors. He says, but a person should choose a job that they enjoy. A person should choose a job that they're good at, because no matter what you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing for you. And no matter what job you have, Hashem will be giving you what you need and what you deserve based on your zechuyot. So a person should choose a job that he'll enjoy, because why not? Right? If you have to choose a job, and no matter what job I do, I'll end up with the same amount of money in the bank, because a person is given what he deserves and what he needs, whatever his zechuyot get him. So what's the difference whether I think one is more profitable than the other? I should do what I enjoy, and I should do what I'm good at, because why not? At least I'll be happy, right? The bank account will look the same at the end of the day anyway, so I may as well be happy. I may as well enjoy what I'm doing as well. And that's the way the Chovos HaLevavos explains the idea of bitachon. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Sefer on Chumash, Emes LeYaakov, so Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, he quotes this Ramban, and he quotes this Chovos HaLevavos, and he says that there is a disagreement between the two of them. Because the Ramban says on one hand, you shouldn't have to work, and you shouldn't have to go to the doctor, and that everything should be taken care of without any working, without having to worry about it. And the Chovos HaLevavos is on the, I don't know, the opposite extreme, but on the other hand saying, no, you should work, make sure you work, make sure you find a job, it's important to find a job, there are two reasons why you have to work, and it's important to find the job that you enjoy, and this is how you choose a job. And he goes through, in his section about bitachon, he spends chapters and chapters about discussing working. So in his discussion about trusting in Hashem, he's talking about working. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, you see that these are two very different opinions. However, he explains that they also, in the one hand, when it seems like the Ramban is the extreme, let's say, machmir, the extreme that he's saying, don't work, just trust in Hashem and sit and learn all day, he says that's not really the case nowadays, because the Ramban explains that that is true when the people, and I'll just read you his wording, ki biyos Yisrael shleimim behem rabim, when the people are shleimim, and when there are many of them, when the Jewish people are tzaddikim, when the entire Jewish nation, it sounds like the entire Jewish nation, are tzaddikim, then they don't have to worry about teva. Then they don't have to worry about nature. Lo yisnahik in Yonam Beteva Klal. There will be no natural way of things at all by them. They will be able to just rely on Hashem, just turn to Hashem. He'll take care of their health, he'll take care of their needs, he'll take care of their parnasa. But that's only when Yafitzro Shleimim Behem Rabim. When they're at this level that the Jewish nation as a whole can say, oh, we're Shleimim, we're a good group, we're a perfect group, we're Tzadikim, we're righteous, and they're Rabim, and their entire group of the Jewish people can say this about themselves. But, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, it's probably not true nowadays, in the world that we live in, unfortunately. You can't say about the entire Jewish nation that we're a group of tzaddikim, unfortunately.
It probably never was true.
Maybe never was true, maybe will be true one day, at the time of Mashiach.
It's like the ideal world.
In the ideal world, yeah, creating the utopian society, absolutely.
You know, the Midbar like that even after days?
Yes, so in the Midbar. The Midbar was as perfect as it got. And the proof for that, sinned, yes, but the proof for that is, they didn't have to, what was their hishtadlus in the Midbar?
Uh-huh.
Right, what was the work that they had to do in the Midbar? So they had to do something, because the Pasuk says, b'zeyas apecha toch alechem, you have to, by the sweat of your brow, you have to do something. So they had to go outside their door, right? They had to go outside their door and get the man from the field. So that was their hishtadlus then. So they were yotzei, they fulfilled the klala, the curse, of that you have to work by the sweat of your brow, you should eat bread, but that was as great as things got, that God really just provided clearly for them that they didn't have to do anything else, right? That they just walked outside and there was their food. So it could be that that's what it was referring to. The Ramban might be referring to that type of society, that type of nation where everybody's on such a level. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that even though it seems that on the surface, it would seem that the Ramban is the Machmir. He's the stringent opinion when it comes to working. And the Chovos HaLevavos is the one telling you, pushing you out the door to go work. He says it would be flipped in the following scenario. Nowadays, let's say a person's not happy with his job. Or, let's say a person is happy with his job, but he feels that it's not making him enough parnasa. He needs more parnasa. So, should he go switch his job? He says, well, maybe I know if I become fill in the blank, a doctor, I'll make more money than being whatever I do. I'm a garbage man. I know I'll make more money then. So he says, why don't I switch my job? I enjoy being a garbage man. I know I'm physically fit for it, and I really love the job, and I enjoy it so much, but I'm not making enough money, so why don't I, working for the wrong town, or the wrong city, so he says, why don't I go get a different job that'll make some more money? So should he go find a different job because he can make some more money? The grass is always greener on the other side. Now, you're right. He may not be successful. But according to these opinions, what should he do?
Well, it's almost hard to know what people are good at that you actually do. He might be very good. He might be a very good position. He might enjoy it very much.
He might be better.
He just never gave it a try. So maybe it'll be wonderful for him. You know,
right.
You know,
maybe.
I mean, the first week of any job is easy. It's when you get to the 6 months that you realize, oh, this is not for me, or, oh, I'm not really good.
Maybe. First thing is easy. Yeah. Sure. Just stay out of the ER. Right. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, well, the opinions would be flipped because according to the Ramban, who says that when the Jewish people are on a high level and very pure and very righteous, so then Hashem takes care of them. But when they're not, so then they have to go and act in the natural world. And if they think that there's a job that will make them a better parnasa and get them more than a different job, than the job that they're in now, so hey, go ahead. Go get yourself a different job. Change your job. Because it seems, according to the Ramban, that when you're not at that high level of where Hashem is taking care of everything, so then you're just put into the natural world. Of course Hashem is watching. Of course Hashem is involved. But you're put into the natural world, so it looks like one job is more profitable than the other, so go get a different job. But according to the Chovos HaLevavos, who says that no matter what you do, your bank account will basically be the same, and you should just do what you enjoy and do what you're good at, so then there would be no reason to change your job if you feel that the reason, the impetus for the change is not because you think you might be good at that, but because I want to make more money. Right? If the reason for change is because I want to go make more money, so the Chovos HaLevavos would say, don't bother. Right? It's going to look the same at the end of the day anyway, so just keep doing what you're enjoying.
The difference between change of job
see $80,000 a year. He gets an offer at a VA, Robert Manning, but heaven forbid he makes $100,000 a year. He's not changing jobs.
Right.
Wherever it is, to make more money elsewhere.
Yeah, then that would be.
Right.
It's a good question. Maybe changing careers. I don't remember exactly what Kamenetsky says, but probably changing careers. Right. Right. But if a person wants to change careers because he wants to try a new career, or because he thinks he'd be good at that other career, so that's fine also. Meaning that even the Chovos HaLevavos said there's nothing wrong with that. But if the reason for change is because I feel that I'm not making enough money, and if I go and do something else, I'll make more money, so that the Chovos HaLevavos would say that there's no reason for the change. Now again, not everybody agrees with this Chovos HaLevavos. It's not just the Ramban and the Chovos HaLevavos. We'll see in Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva that I'll tell you about, that he has actually asked about insurance, he also sounds like he has a little bit of a different take on it than the Chovos HaLevavos. It's not as simple as, whatever you do, you end up with the same bank account, just do what you're good at and do what you enjoy. It sounds a little bit different, and I'll explain to you why. But, yeah, so that's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains would be the machlokes between the Chovos HaLevavos and the Ramban. So with that introduction of bitachon and working and jobs, now I figured we would deal with insurance specifically, because there are two tshuvos that I found of really contemporary poskim who deal with insurance. There are actually a lot of tshuvos that deal with these. They all basically come out in the same place. So Ariel, don't worry, you don't have to go running around. You can just get the answer here. You know the answer. He came anyway. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it, and Rav Avadya Yosef also has a tshuva about it. So each of them it's interesting actually, because they quote a few of the same sources, but it's not identical, right? A lot of times, if you ask two rabbis the same question. So if it's a very simple halachic answer, well, there's a Gemara about this, and they give you the answer. But in this situation, insurance obviously is not dealt with directly in the Gemara. So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Avadya Yosef both bring different sources. They have some overlap of some, I guess, more classic and obvious sources that directly connect to this question. But they have different questions, and they get to the same. They have different answers, but get to the same point. Different developments of their answers, and they get to the same point. So Rav Moshe Feinstein starts with a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos talks about davening when your wife is pregnant. It says a person should not daven yirasun, that she should have whatever, right? She should have fill in the blank, boy or girl, whichever one you want at that time. The Gemara says because that's a tefillah shop. It's a wasteful davening. Meaningless tefillah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Why can't you daven for your wife that she should have a certain gender of baby? Don't we have a case in the Torah by Leah that she davened to have a girl when she was pregnant with Dinah? Right? She had her six children and she got pregnant again, and the Torah says that she davened. The Gemara says, v'achar. The Torah doesn't say she davened. The Torah says, "Va'achar yalda bat." Then she had a daughter and called her Dina. So the Gemara says, "What was achar?" So Rav says that achar means that she made a din on herself, meaning she said to herself, "I have six children, right?" And they all knew that Yaakov was going to have 12 tribes. I have six children, and the two shvachos, the two maids, Bilhah and Zilpah, have two each. That's 10. He says, "So Leah said, my sister Rachel doesn't have any children yet. If I have another boy, then I'll have 7, they'll have 2 and 2, that'll only leave 1 left for Rachel to have, and she'll have even less than the maidservants." She said, that wouldn't be nice. So, what did she do? Gemara says, she davened, or miyad nebcha labas, shenemar vatikra shma dina. She was surprised, she called it Dina, meaning she davened that it should change, and you see that you can daven and it can change the gender of the baby. So the Gemara says, you see, that why can't you daven for the gender of the baby? You see that you're allowed to from Leah. So the Gemara says, because one answer is, Ein maskirin maisanisim, that's a miracle. and that we don't rely upon. We don't talk about miracles. We don't rely upon miracles. We don't ask for miracles. So we don't ask that Hashem should make the baby one gender over the other. Then the Gemara gives a second answer and says that the story of Leah was before 40 days into the pregnancy. And the Gemara says that up until 40 days in the pregnancy, you can daven for the gender of the baby. After 40 days into the pregnancy, at that point, it would be considered a wasteful tefillah. And that would be the difference. So Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes the first answer. The second answer is quoted all the time, that people should only daven for the gender of a baby up until 40 days. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you see from the first answer of the Gemara, that you don't ask for miracles to happen. Right? So if you don't do anything, if you don't work, and you don't do anything, so you're relying on a miracle. You're asking God to make a miracle happen. If you don't have some type of financial planning for the future, if you don't make some type of financial planning... What?
I'll give you this $20.
If you don't have... This is a paid commercial. If you don't have the financial planning for the future, so you're relying on a miracle. Sponsored by. Yeah.
And also, we see that in people, like with Yosef, planning for, in the pool, prosperous years, planning for when...
Right.
Well, does that mean we don't daven for miracles? We daven for miracles all the time.
Why? What miracles?
Let's say someone's in the hospital, the doctor says there's no chance.
Yeah.
So, there's no chance. We daven.
Right. Good question. I'm not sure how that helps. It's a good question. Whether you should you do that? If kuach nefesh is different, is that if that's considered a miracle?
Then I think
it's a good question. You're asking for a miracle. Same thing. Here too. I'm asking God to make the gender of the baby, a girl. Right? You're asking God to make the baby a girl. So you're not depending on it. If it's a boy, you'll be happy too.
Isn't that the reason why people in the book of the schools and people should daven to get better?
Now what?
Isn't that the whole reason why people in the schools are parents and people should daven to get better?
And we daven because we show that we trust in Hashem. That's why there's a tefillah to say before you take medicine. There's a tefillah to say. Because we're always davening for Hashem to help us have a refuah. But I don't know. If that's a miracle, I don't know. I have to think about how to answer that. So that's a good question.
It's his topic.
I already have an answer. And then there's another Gemara, a Gemara in Shabbos, that talks about a story about a man whose wife passed away. And there was a young child who was still nursing when the mother passed away. And he didn't have any money to hire a nurse to nurse the baby, so Hashem made a miracle, and the man was able to feed the baby from him. He was able to nurse the baby from his breasts grew, and he was able to feed. So Rav Yosef said, "Look how great this person is that a miracle happened for him, that a God took care of him." And then Abaye said, "No, look how terrible this person is that Hashem changed the natural way of the world for him." Meaning, we don't look for miracles. And we don't look for miracles to happen. We don't want miracles to happen to us because Abaye said, "Kama garua adam zeh, chenishtanu lo sidrei bereishis." He made God change the natural way of the world. I don't know if he said it to him. It sounds like the rabbis were having this conversation. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, "You see from there, we don't rely on miracles." So we try to plan for the future. He says, however, there is a Gemara in Beitza that we know from Rosh Hashanah time that everything that a person is going to make, kol mezonoso shel adam ketzuvin lo mirosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim, that is set from between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's set how much money a person is going to make for that year, except for the amount of money he spends on Shabbos, Yontif, and his children learning Torah. And then there's also a Medrash or Yerushalmi that adds in Rosh Chodesh also. So, and the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes the halacha that we pass in like that. That he quotes that the amount of money the person spends is going to make is set for the year, except for the money he spends on Shabbos, Yontif, Talmud Torah for his children, and Rosh Chodesh. So.
Talmud Torah for
Good question. Yeah, Talmud Torah that you're responsible for. Yeah, probably. Nowadays, probably, yeah. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about, also about women, girls. Yeah. For another time. Meiser. Meiser question. But, yeah. Yeah, it sounds, I would imagine, yes. So that Gemara would seem to imply that what do you need to bother with an insurance policy for? Everything's set, right? God is setting how much you're going to make for the year, so what do you need to bother with an insurance policy? Why do you have to have financial planning if every year it's set, so nothing's going to change, so it doesn't really matter whether you have the insurance policy or not, that life would be taken care of. But Moshe Feinstein says, even so, we can't rely on miracles. And what that means is that it built in there is all the financial planning that we have and all of the planning that we do. And we try our best not to rely on miracles. And when the decree comes that this is how much a person is going to get for the year, so in that is also the planning that we did. And the reason for that, he really says, is because insurance is really just another business venture. You know, he views it as another, as a business, as a mischar. He called it just a mischar. It's like any other investment that a person makes. And nobody would say that you can't invest in something. People invest. That's what people do for a living. They invest in property. They invest in goods. They invest in stock. That's just, people invest their money. So he says, why is insurance any different? Insurance is just an investment that a person is doing. That's the investment you choose to make. It might be more of a, I guess, an investment that you can rely on, but he says it's just an investment. So it's an investment the same way any other investment that a person would make, and therefore, he says, certainly it would be something that is allowed, if not advised, because of the security and it will set up the people who a person leaves after he passes away, that he's leaving behind for them something significant to live with. He then quotes the Mishnah in Kiddushin. This Mishnah in Kiddushin, at the end of Kiddushin, is a very interesting Mishnah. And the Mishnah quotes a number of different statements of the different Tanaim about that a person should always teach his child a job, a person has to teach his child something, an umnus nikiya vikala, something which is some type of work which is clean and easy. And you should daven for him because lo anius min ha'umnus, lo ashirus min ha'umnus. A person doesn't become poor because of his job, and a person doesn't become rich because of his job. Ela hakolof hizuchusto. Everything is according to the zuchus of the person. And then there's another statement of the Tana of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says, he says that he never saw. He says almost. He says he never saw an animal not have anything to eat. He never saw an animal that had to work for what he did. Right? He never saw an animal that don't work. They find their food, and wherever they are, they have food. So he says, so what's with us? We're created to serve Hashem. So why shouldn't we also be given our food? So the Tana explains, Reb Shimon ben Elazar explains, because it must be, we have to look at ourselves and say, Sheho rat hu raisi masai. It must be that I'm doing something wrong. It must be that because I sinned. That because I sinned, I have an opportunity and an obligation to serve Hashem. The animals, they get their food without having to work. But I have to work for it. I have to work hard for it. It must be that it's because of me. If everything was equal, the animals aren't sinning. Right? They're just in the normal. They are as they were created. They're animals. They don't sin. They don't do mitzvahs. They are as they are. The natural state of being from the time that they're born. So that's the natural state, that God would provide food and for people in a very easy way, easy fashion, in front of them like the animals. So he says it must be that if we have to work, it must be we look at ourselves and say, it must be that I'm doing something wrong. If my parnas is not coming to me easily, it must be that I need to fix what I'm doing. In light of that last statement, that the being poor is not because of what we do, and becoming rich is not because of what we do. Everything is lefiz lefusto. The last opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Nehorai says, that I'm not going to teach my children any umnus, no job. The only job I'm going to teach them is Torah. Because a person can eat the schar, the reward, in this world for whatever he's going to do, but Torah, he'll get the reward in Olam Haba. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, according to this last opinion, it sounds like you shouldn't be working. So forget insurance. He says you shouldn't be working even. So he explains that that's not what Rabbi Nehorai really means. That what Rabbi Nehorai is talking about is when a child is young. And when a child is young, he should be learning Torah. But when the time comes that he needs to support himself and support his family, so at that point, even Rabbi Nehorai, even that last opinion, who sounds like, don't worry, just go learn Torah, even he would agree that we don't rely on miracles. That we don't rely on ask Hashem to provide for us in a miraculous way. But then he would also agree that the person at that point would have to go and work. Maybe he wouldn't be trained in a certain field, but he would go and find a job because we don't rely on miracles. We're not going to ask Hashem for a miracle. We're not going to rely on a miracle because even if a miracle happens for us, it sounds like from the Gemara and Shabbos, it's not even a good thing. It's not something that we're looking for God to make a miracle for us. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein says that there's nothing wrong with insurance. People should get insurance. He says, "Af le gedolim v'tzadikim," even for great people and righteous people, roi le'asus that it would have been fit for them to have a miracle. Nevertheless, we don't want a miracle. We don't want a miracle, and therefore, a person should make the he should make the investment in insurance policy to have something left over for the people for his family after he passes away. There are two points in Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva that I wanted to just mention. One is he explains so what does bitachon have to do with insurance, right? Where is a person's bitachon in insurance? So he says that you have to view insurance as the atzas Hashem. That we look at insurance as that Hashem gave me the advice, and I thank Hashem and I have trust in Hashem that He gave me the advice to get insurance, to create insurance, and that I trust that Hashem will allow me to have money to always be able to pay my insurance, to be able to make the payments to my insurance.
You can use that tomorrow.
Yeah, no problem. In the Igros Moshe Or Chaim Chelik Bey Simon Kuf Yud Aleph, I'll give you the. So he says that a person should be trying that, and that's the bitachon that a person has through his insurance. Right? It's not I'm making a shazal investment without Hashem. He says no, Hashem gave you the idea. Hashem put the idea of insurance in the minds of the creators. The history of insurance, which another time. In Yom and Zab, we'll ask him if he comes for Shabbat. And then he says that a person would have bitachon that Hashem will provide for him to be able to make his payment. Now, one other point that I mentioned before, just in light of that Chovos HaLevavos that we mentioned. So the way Rav Moshe Feinstein says, right, the Chovos HaLevavos again sounded like no matter what job you take, that Hashem will provide for you the same. And it all depends on your action. What you just do, what you enjoy, do what you like, do what you're good at, because it's all going to look the same in the bank account in the end. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it in a little bit of a different way. He says, a person doesn't know where he's going to be able to make money. And he could make money in any type of umnus, in any type of job. But, he says, there are some that are more likely to make more money. There are some which are more likely that you'll be more successful in those areas. And you could be as successful as the most successful doctor in whatever industry you're in, but then that would depend on your zechus. That depends on how good of a person you are and what you deserve. So even if you're in a job that nobody would expect to make a lot of money, you could if you deserve it, right? But then you need to be on a higher level and your zechus needs to be greater and you need to deserve it more.
So I've seen bad people make good money.
Bad people make good money also, yes. Yeah.
Look at the
old banker. Well, yeah, they're bad people who make good money. Absolutely. And that's also a question. Why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? But that's really, you know, a separate question. But he says, Eino yodea shema hu eino zocha laharviach umnus acheres ela bikazu. Maybe you'll only be successful in this area. And he says, so insurance is an area of business. It's an area of not selling, but the area of buying it, of making that investment, that's like just having another job. And knowing that at the end, this job of having an insurance policy will leave me with X amount of dollars. So that's a good insurance. That's a good job. I know that there's something to rely on at the end of the day. But, so he does sound like Ramosha's understanding.
Like full life.
Oh, so, yeah. It's funny you say that.
We
talked
about
only because, so hold that thought. Just let me finish this point. So he seems like he's saying a little bit differently than the Chovas HaLevavos. The Chovas HaLevavos seems to say that no matter what you're doing, you're going to end up with the same amount of money in the bank account. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, different jobs do make different amounts of money, or some are more likely to be more successful than others, and those, you know, you don't have to be a yotzei min haklal. You don't have to be the expert in the area to make that type of money. So you don't have to be as your zechusim don't have to be as great. But you could make the same amount of money in the other area, but then it depends on your zechusim. So, you know, it's like the Chovas HaLevavos, but not quite, because he says there are different jobs. And he doesn't say how to pick a job, but he does sound like he's saying that different types of jobs we can expect them to make different amounts of money, and that's not a problem in our bitachon, that we feel, oh, but this job makes more money than this type of job, so that's what I'll go do. The Chovas HaLevavos sounded like there's something lacking in our bitachon if we're choosing a job based on what looks like it's the most prosperous, because the Chovas HaLevavos says it shouldn't matter. Moshe Feinstein seems to put that in there, that yeah, there are some jobs and types of areas of work that are more prosperous than others. That's just as an aside. So, Ariel mentions the different types of insurance, and with this we'll close. Rav Adi Yosef quotes a few other proofs, and there's a Tosfos in Kiddushin, and there's a Meiri, different quotes also. It's nice language for that. It's late already, so I'm not going to get into them. But, so Rav Moshe Feinstein has a second tshuva, where he wasn't asked about whether it's okay to have life insurance or not, but he was asked which type to buy. So his two types, I'll describe to you what he describes, and you can tell me if they're accurate, because he says, I'm not sure exactly. But his one type is a classic life insurance, which is that after a person passes away, whoever's left behind can claim their insurance policy and get that sum of money. The other type of it, that's, right, what's that called?
That would probably be
whole life. Permanent whole life. Right.
Meaning, now, pay your premium, and hopefully at 120.
120, exactly, the family collects. The second type he describes is that you pay until you reach a certain age, and at that point, at a certain age, you get the money from the insurance policy.
It's a term you don't get.
That's why. So what is this second one that he's describing?
Also whole life has cash value.
That a person says, I'm going to pay an insurance policy until I'm 75 years old, and if when I reach 75 years old, the insurance agency now owes me all that money. Yes.
Yeah,
that exists. That's also whole life.
The other one sounds like whole life, but maybe that's more of the term. Like if God forbid you pass away, within the 20 years that you have term, your family collects, but if you outlive it,
yeah,
then you outlive it.
Right. Right.
It's better to have it and not need it.
So he was asked which one a person should have. Which one is better? So he quotes a Gemara in Nida that says that when a baby boy is born, so he's born with bread in his hand, and when a girl is born, she's not, because she depends on the husband, and she has to daven for it. She depends on the husband, and those times, certainly the husband was the breadwinner, and it seems like it depended on his mazel for the household. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, so you see from there that it's more important, as long as the husband's there and alive and well, so he'll be providing for his family. So he says, but what the better option would be that once the husband's no longer alive, that he should make sure that his wife and children, who he leaves behind, should have what to live off of. So he said he prefers the one that expires when a person dies, not that he gets or he outlives and gets to receive the money when he reaches that age.
I feel like it's a little confused now.
Well, that's what he says. That's the one. He says, but I'm not sure of the details, and it doesn't really make sense to me that you should give a little bit of money every year and get all this money when you pass away. So if there are other conditions in there you have to be careful about, speak to an insurance real good. But if you have any questions, contact. But he says, but it's more important to have a policy that would leave money for those who you're leaving behind, because again, it was more the husband's responsibility based on this understanding of the Rashi and the Maharsha and the Gemara Nida, that it was relying on the husband's mazel to have the money in the house. As long as he was there, it would be provided for. Once he was no longer alive, then he wouldn't. Therefore, he said the one that the insurance policy, whichever one it is, that would end up would be realized after the person passes away, is the better one to buy. He says, but again, he wasn't sure about the details either. And certainly, obviously, I'm not either.
But what if, then the secondary question is, what I do every day, what if someone is alive but unable to provide income for a
particular payment? Right. So he says it's the same with car insurance and health insurance and fire insurance and all that stuff. He says it's all the same. Yeah, and he says it's all the same. It's a business venture. It's no different than making an investment than anything else. He views insurance just as making an investment, and there's no problem with bitachon at all. I'll just end with the words of the Meiri that Rav Avadya Yosef quotes, that just to kind of blend everything together, and as to just to clarify what I was saying before about putting the bitachon together with the hishtadlus, and he says that a person needs to place his bitachon in Hashem in all that he does, not to only rely on what he's doing, but ela im hishtadluso yasim bitchono v'hakadosh baruch hu v'yitle bo hatzlachaso. That with your hishtadlus, with a person's work, that he should place his bitachon in Hashem, trust in Hashem, v'yitle bo hatzlachaso, and ultimately thank Hashem and give credit to Hashem for the success that a person has. That certainly the obligation of to work through all these sources, it does sound like there's an obligation to work, an obligation to make an investment in a life insurance or any other type of insurance plan, but ultimately to give thanks and to recognize that the successes of our work is not, as he says, not the pasuk of kochi v'otem yadi asaliyas achayel hazed, through thanks that we did it, our strength, and we were able to, and our hands were able to succeed in this area, but rather yitle bo hatzlachaso, to ultimately give all of our successes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is sometimes hard, that a person puts in all of their work and can feels that the credit is to himself, but ultimately through our bitachon, what this really means is to be able to live a life of bitachon b'Hashem, means to see through our success, through successes and failures, that the hand of God is involved, and ultimately to live with bitachon and to recognize that we are working, we have an obligation to work, we should be working, but ultimately that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing whatever is coming, whatever ultimately ends up in our bank accounts and providing for us and our families. God.